Thank you, guys. You may be seated. Quick what's up to all the home team from Cedar Valley. Nice to see you and everybody else. You know, one of the thoughts I had during worship was I love these moments. I love, like, gloomy Tuesdays where, you know, I was expecting, like, that. You know, the banners are like, there's not a seat open in the house. They probably had a really famous speaker come and everybody wanted to be in the house, but this is like a Tuesday morning, right? You're here because you have to have a chapel or you ain't got no more skips left and you got a backup speaker. Like, it's just Tuesday and I'm like, I'm just ready for lunch, right? And I think this is more of a reality of, like, real life than that stuff. Like, that stuff happens. Anyone can show up on the big day when the big speakers are here. But the grind in life, like the growth in life comes from the grind of, like, the gloomy, rainy days. And it kind of lines up with what I want to share today. There's not a whole lot of us. And I thought about having everybody come into, like, the middle section. But that's, like, Sunday school, kids' church type stuff. So I'll let you stay where you are, but I just ask one thing, lock in for 20 minutes. My goal today is not to get you through the week, just to get you through the day. And I think there will be one thing that I think you're going to hide in your heart. I think it's going to mess with you a little bit today. Tonight, when the lights go off and the music stops and the conversations come to an end, I think you're going to wrestle with one thing here tonight. I'm confident in that. I've been wrestling with this personally for about a month now. I feel like this has been something that has kept me up at night. I find myself in conversation with myself and with God around this one thing. And when I got the call last week, I knew this is exactly what it's going to be. I always really enjoy speaking on what's happening in my own life at the time. Anyway, so just before I get into it, I want to, of course, thank Joshua and Dr. Graham, my friend Dr. Livengood, those that are helping lead all of you, all the professors in the house. It's an honor to be here. I know a lot of great men and women have stood on this platform and poured into your lives, and I'm just honored to be one of them. I see myself when I see you. I always appreciated the practical application of God's word for my life when pastors and leaders and professors would stand behind a pulpit at my university. I went to Southwestern in Waxahachie, Texas, and when they would stand behind the pulpit and speak from their own experience and they would share their learned lessons, and they always seemed to be in tune with what was happening in my life and in our world as a body of students. They knew that we were aspiring to something. They also sensed that we were still dealing with some confusion in terms of what does God actually have for my life. And they knew that we didn't have it all figured out and we were battling our own issues. But one thing was certain, we knew that God had called us for something and had something important in store. And we were there because we were pursuing it. And that's you, right? Whatever God's doing in your life today, you're here because you're responding to the call of God on your life. You don't come to North Central University to just get an education. You come to North Central University because you're certain God has a call on my life, and I want to pursue it. I want to explore it. You'll likely change degree plans once or twice, and you'll just kind of work through what it is God has for you. So I take these moments very seriously, especially these moments, like these Tuesday mornings when half the body's not here. I believe that the ones are here are the ones that God has something very specific for you. I've prayed for today, and I prayed that the Holy Spirit would just come and very gently speak to your heart, like the part of your heart that not a lot of people have access to, and that it'll be exactly what you need right now. And I love that it's raining and we can hear the rain because it reminds us of the grind of life. Like, no one's outside sitting on the beach in rain. Like, people ain't laying out getting sun in rain. People, you know, go, this is more of a reality of life than anything else. And you know this, God knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And I think he wants to speak to you. Do me a favor, put your hands out right like this. I want to pray and we're going to get going. Father, we receive your word for us today. It's not about me. God, move me out of the way, and I pray you would speak directly to their heart, speak to my heart, challenge us in a way that we need to be challenged today. Speak to us in a way that we would walk out of this room certain that was God that spoke to me. That man on that platform has no idea what's happening in my life. That was absolutely God speaking to me today. We pray that in Jesus' name, and everybody said. Our primary text is going to be 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Read this with me. Give thanks in all circumstances. All right, Bible students, future pastors, leaders, singers, whatever else you're doing, read this with me. You ready? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. All right, so looking in the room, we are all very different from each other. We have different styles. We have different backgrounds, ethnicities, experiences, passions, interests, and degree plans. But one thing we have in common, every person in the room, whether you're a professor, whether you're executive leadership, whether you're a student, whoever you are and wherever you are, one thing everybody in this room has in common is we all have circumstances. We are people of circumstances. And you might not be dealing with your circumstance right now in this moment because you're in chapel, but your circumstances are waiting for you right at that door. And the moment you walk out of this room, they will attach themselves to you and you will carry your circumstances wherever you go when chapel is finished. We all have circumstances. And one thing I want you to take note of in this verse is that it says to give thanks in all circumstances. It does not say to give thanks for all circumstances, but it does say in all circumstances that we should be grateful, right? So, and by the way, everything means everything. Like every circumstance in your life, every single thing that matters to you, you need to know that it matters to God. Everything means everything, not just the spiritual stuff in your life, but every single thing happening in your life right now, in this moment, you need to be reminded it matters to God. Now, he referenced Easter. I was also going to reference Easter because it's true. Sundays on Easter Sunday, it's packed. Many pastors reference Easter Sunday as like Super Bowl Sunday. It's the one Sunday you don't got to do a lot of work to get a lot of people. They just show up, right? And it's neat that people who aren't really churched or believers come and celebrate the risen Savior of the world. But I believe that the celebration on Easter is much sweeter when you understand the agony of Friday night. Like there's a greater appreciation for the risen Savior on Sunday when you fully understand the suffering and the abuse and the humiliation of Friday night, the abandonment, all of that stuff, right? There's a greater appreciation for that. So in order for us to really understand this verse, our text for today, we need to understand like the setting, the context of the verse. So let me just give you just a little bit of it. The letter written to the Christians in Thessalonica, something like that, it was to commend their devotion and example to others that was widespread. It was written to strengthen their faith, and I believe that the Bible was written for them then, but it's also written for us now. So the intention of the verse then is now for us today. So it's meant to strengthen our faith, and despite, which means without being affected. So to strengthen our faith despite persecution. Y'all know persecution means like torture, suffering, right? It's extreme. Many of us, in terms of our faith, we don't suffer persecution, but others in other places of the world, they suffer great persecution for their faith, right? That's what's happening for the believers that this letter is written to at this time, and also to remind them of the great hope of Christ's return, right? So I think there's some interesting closer looks from the letter that makes this idea of give thanks in all circumstances actually a little bit tougher to act on. So let's kind of try to understand what's happening when Paul's writing this letter to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the very start of this letter, Paul says, you received the message, the gospel message, with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord, who is Jesus. So they're now, because of their decision to follow Jesus and to walk away from idol worship and whatever else they were involved in, as a result of that choice, they now are enduring severe persecution. And Paul is writing to them to say, man, I appreciate, God appreciates your devotion to the faith in spite of your suffering, your torture, your circumstance. As a matter of fact, when you endure, you are imitating us and Jesus. Like you are living out your faith, and I want to commend you for that in spite of your circumstances. Next chapter, chapter 2, verse 14, he continues to write, and then, dear brothers and sisters, believers, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers of God, the believers in God's churches. It's one thing to be betrayed by just people. It's a whole nother thing to be turned on by the ones you love most. And these believers have made a decision to follow Jesus, walk away from idol worship, and their own people are now persecuting them. And Paul writes to them, I commend you. I commend your faith. Despite the suffering and the persecution that you're getting from your own people, I commend your faith. And when you do that, you are imitating other believers all around the world. Maybe it's true that you're never more like Jesus than when you endure in your suffering. When you stay close to your God, to your faith, to the decision you made to follow Jesus. And you all have your story. There was a moment somewhere, a youth convention, a youth camp, some kids camp, some revival service, some youth night, who knows where, FCF, somewhere. You made a decision to follow Jesus. And then after you made that decision, you've endured some hardship. Maybe someone in your family's kind of put you at an arm's length, like you are no longer part of this family with your decision to follow Jesus. Yeah, for you it might not be normal, but there's someone sitting in this room who say, man, me following Jesus meant losing some people in my life that I loved. Maybe it's true that we're never more like Jesus than when we endure the suffering that life has to offer for everybody. Once again, Paul's encouragement to a church or to the body of believers is that they are enduring severe persecution. The early church endured great persecution, yet they're known for living out their faith in a way that is seen by many. A lot of people are watching you right now, and for the rest of your life, they will watch you. And how you endure suffering and pain and persecution and betrayal, how you endure that, how you live through that, is going to speak volumes of your faith in Jesus. So keep this in mind. And I know you guys really appreciate people who say something and then live that out. You're the generation that sees through people. Like, if you say it and you don't live it, you out. I don't want to hear another thing from you. Your generation appreciates that. So in order for us to take Paul's advice, let's see how he lives his own life. Acts 16, 22 through 25. A mob, y'all know what that is, like a gang, like the OGs of a gang though. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon, not just like a jail cell. We're talking solid, like What is solitary confinement? Like no windows, no nothing. That's where they put him. And clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Severely beaten with rods, humiliated, stripped, thrown into prison, solitary confinement, feet locked up, and Paul's response is, I hope y'all know this. Y'all know this song? I love you, Lord. Come on, don't leave me alone on this one. And I live. Worship live, at least, y'all. Come on. Two. Now let's sing like we can be heard. Come on. My soul. Come on, one more time. Rejoice. Take joy, my King. Come on, I want to see you singing. Participate. In what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your... Okay, just lift one hand. Two, if you're awesome, one at least. I love you, Lord. Come on. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound. In your ear. Shockingly, that was Paul's response to severe suffering in his life. That's the choice Paul made. Maybe that's why he writes, in all circumstances, give thanks. In all circumstances, show gratitude. Regardless of what you face, and when you face it, let your response be to give thanks. So you'll appreciate the advice that Paul gives over and over and over again in his letters to give thanks. Consider it pure joy. You'll appreciate it now because he's not just telling you something that sounds good. He's not just posting it because it'll get a lot of likes. He's living this stuff out severely and he's passing it on to you. You're never more like Jesus. You're never more like Paul when you endure life's greatest hardships and you choose gratitude, worship, praise, thanksgiving. Can you hear the rain? It's a reminder that hardship is coming your way. Jesus himself said, you will endure hardship in this life. These believers, man, they're doing it. They're doing it. In spite of great persecution, they're doing it. Thessalonians 1:7, Paul says, you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. You became the model because of how you chose to respond to suffering and hardship in your life. You became a model. That's what it's supposed to look like. Man, these believers, they're doing it. They're not just hearers of the word. They're doers of the word. That matters to you. That's the real test of our faith in the struggle. When things ain't going right, when you find yourself upset, when you find yourself let down, disappointed, angry, overwhelmed, depressed, persecuted, abused, beaten down, talked about, betrayed, cheated, mocked, deceived, and tricked. Grateful to God for his goodness, his faithfulness, and trusted in the promises that he has over your life. Let me read you our primary text from the Message translation, like the most basic, straightforward language, because I want you to get this in your bones. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you to belong to Christ Jesus to live. It's not just a thing you say, give thanks, be grateful, have gratitude. It's not just a thing you say. It's not just a bit of advice from Paul. We live in a culture where we will say whatever as preachers and teachers and professors and students. We'll say whatever it takes. We'll try to make it as clever as we possibly can to get the attention of other people. We'll come up with rhymes and rhythms. But this is way more than just advice coming from Paul. Research proves that thankfulness has positive health outcomes. It's good for us. The Bible even says that a merry heart does good as a medicine. But it even goes beyond that. What it does for us is we realize this is actually God's way on how we should go about hardship in life. This is God's way. This is how we deal with hardship. You will have hardship. You already have endured great hardship in your life. I know that. Some of y'all, you've already endured divorce as a child or a teenager. You know the agony of a broken home at a young age. You've been betrayed by someone you trusted, abused, poverty, sickness, depression. It ain't easy. Life ain't easy, and it doesn't get any easier, by the way. I would have never imagined in 20 years post-college that I would endure some of the things I've endured in my life. I would have never imagined. I thought for sure it would be somebody else. I never thought I'd be the one. You will endure hardship in your life, and you're never more like Jesus than when you are in your suffering. You choose gratitude. You choose thankfulness over and over again. I hate to say it, man, but hardship is a part of life. Even for the very best of believers. This still kill and destroy thing, it ain't no joke. It's as real as it gets. Certainly it will be a part of your life. Jesus himself said you will experience hardship in this life. And when you do, give thanks. First Thessalonians 5:24, right towards the end of this letter, Paul says, God will make this, which is his promises, he'll make this happen. For he who calls you is faithful. God has given you an abundance of promises. The word of God is filled with promises for his people. But God has also spoken directly to you promises, and to me promises, that other people may not be aware of. But you're certain God has spoken to you and he's given you a promise. Just remember this, he who calls you, he's faithful. God's faithfulness is like human faithfulness, only perfect. His love is absolute and his promises are irrevocable. His love is in spite. He loves us in spite of our constant pull towards sin. And he keeps all his promises that he's made to us, even when we break our promises to him. Faithfulness is a characteristic of God. He created the world. He has faithfully ordered it and kept it since creation. And because he's faithful, we can count on him to fulfill all his purposes for us. Every single one of them. And if God can oversee the forces of nature, surely he can see his people through the trials that we face. Trusting in God's faithfulness day by day gives us confidence in his great promises for the future. What he's promised you, he will do. Let me finish with this. Gratitude is the antidote to negativity. Mostly, we respond to hardship with negativity. Gratitude is the antidote to negativity. Gratitude is the secret sauce of a believer. It's God's way. It's the appropriate response to hardship, gratitude. Gratitude is the choice we make over and over. And gratitude is the right response when things get difficult. It's not the easiest response. Vengeance would be the easiest response. Nope, the right response is gratitude. So here's the thing I want you to just put on your heart for the rest of the day. It's this: gratitude is the attitude. Gratitude is the attitude. It's 11:40. We don't have time for a response, but I want you to stand to your feet right where you're at. I was going to ask you to come and renew your attitude, but you can do it right there where you're at. Remember, we started by saying there's one thing that unites us all, and that is we all have circumstances. Would you confirm that by saying, that's certainly true in my life, I've got circumstances? Would you just, you're not going to share it with anybody, but would you just acknowledge it? I got circumstances happening in my life, for sure. So here's our response. It's got to be gratitude. And I don't know what your response has been, but I know you've had one. It could be frustration. It could be a critical spirit. It could be negativity. It could be anger. It could be a lot of things. But today, would you just renew to God Himself, my response is going to be gratitude. My response is going to be gratitude. Father, in this moment, we just renew our choice to choose gratitude in spite of the hardship that we face. Holy Spirit, we ask for supernatural strength and a sweet reminder to choose gratitude, to maybe close our eyes for a moment, lift our hands and sing a chorus to you. Not because we sing good. It's our response to the suffering that we're facing and enduring and dealing with. So we make that choice today in Jesus' precious name. And together everybody said, amen. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day. Enjoy your lunch.